you struggle with recalling scripture verses that you've read or maybe even memorized? In order for the Holy Spirit to remind us of what God says in His Word about how we should live, we must first read God's Word, study God's Word, meditate upon and memorize Scripture, choosing to store it up as a priceless treasure in our heart. The Spirit of God then will take what we've hidden in our heart, what we've memorized, and use that to lead us and to guide us into what is right and pure and lovely and that which glorifies God. Well, welcome to the Point of Purity podcast. I'm your host, Steve Etner, author, national speaker, certified professional mentor, and purity coach for the Pure Man Ministry. This is episode 174. This week's episode asks the question, can you remember? In John 14:26, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, I want you to focus your attention for just a moment on the word remembrance. In other words, to remind. The Holy Spirit's job is to remind us of what God has said. Simply put, to be in remembrance or to be reminded of something is to recall it, to remember something of or from the past. Okay, now, with that understanding, I want you to consider this. Can you remember something you never knew? Can you remember something you never experienced in the first place? What's the answer? Well, of course not. I mean, how many of us tried to recall stuff in high school and college that we never studied, hoping that we'd get it when we took the test? It didn't work then. It's not going to work now. To remember something, you have to, first of all, know it. You cannot remember that which you don't already know. Well, again, let me repeat John 14:26, where Jesus said that the Holy Spirit's ministry to the born-again believer, to you and to me, would be to bring to our remembrance all that God has said. In order for the Holy Spirit, now watch this, in order for the Holy Spirit to remind you of what God said in His Word about how you should live, how you should glorify Him, you must first read Scripture. You have to study it. You have to meditate on it and memorize it, storing it up in your heart as a priceless treasure. The Spirit of God will then take what you have hidden in your heart, and He will use that to lead and to guide you into what is right and pure, lovely, and that which honors and glorifies God. In Psalm 119, verse 11, David declares, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." You see, when facing temptation to sin, it's the Scriptures, it's that which you've already treasured up in your heart from God's Word, that the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind to remind you of God's will and God's way as it's revealed in God's Word. But you see, if you're not in the Word of God daily, and if the Word of God is not dwelling in you richly, Colossians 3:16, then you're not equipping your heart, you're not equipping your mind with the tools that God has already offered you in His Word. And as a result, you are not able to put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil, Ephesians 6, verse 11. Ultimately, you will find yourself struggling to submit, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and have him flee from you, James 4, 7. Everything, listen, watch this, everything that the Holy Spirit says and does to lead, to guide, to teach, and direct you is always, 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 mark it down, circle it, put a star by it, bold it, always based on the all-encompassing truth of God found in the Word of God. This means that no one, absolutely no one, should ever say, "Well, the Holy Spirit told me," or "the Spirit impressed upon my heart that." Don't ever say that if you cannot or will not support it with Scripture. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit will not speak on His own authority. In other words, the Holy Spirit will never tell you something that does not find its foundation in the Bible. He will always and only speak God's truth, which is found in God's Word. And let me assure you, my friend, watch this now. God will never, mark it down, never tell you something that is contrary to Scripture. Never. In this day and age, it's vital that we take a stand, that we stand up and we take off the disguise of the world that we've been hiding behind, and that we choose daily to live a transformed life, Romans 12:2. How exciting to know that real, lasting change is not only possible, but promised to those who choose to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit as He impresses God's truth upon our hearts. I think it's important to not only understand, but also acknowledge the fact that you cannot change yourself. Let's face it, you've tried before, haven't you? You can't change the behavior without changing the heart. The prophet Jeremiah asks this question. He says, "Can an Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard its spots? Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil," Jeremiah 13:23. You see, true change, true lasting change can only happen as you choose daily to renovate your thinking, Revelation, Romans 12, verse 2. You have to choose daily to gut out the old way of thinking that dominates your life, that the king me mentality of I want, I need, I deserve, I desire, I have to have, I can't live without it. It's all about me, 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 me. What's going to make me happy? And we need to gut that out and we need to replace it with thoughts that please and honor and glorify God. What's going to make God happy? Jesus made this declaration in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven," Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Okay, great. So we're to let our light shine. I get it. But what exactly is this light that Jesus is referring to, and how on earth do I let that shine? Well, in the Gospel of John, we read that a guy by the name of John the Baptist came to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. Now, John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world, John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And that light is Jesus Christ. Just as with John the Baptist, in and of ourselves, we are not light. On our own, we have no light to shine. So again, what is this light that John's referring to? When Jesus spoke to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life," John 8, verse 12. In John 12, 36, Jesus said to his disciples, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." In other words, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you instantly became a son of light, or a child of light, a child of God. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, "For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night. We are not of the darkness," 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5. The moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the moment you were born again, the truth of 2 Corinthians 5:17 took place instantaneously in your life. You were crucified with Christ, and you became a new creation. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, set up a permanent residency within your soul through the person of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul said in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me." The light of this world dwells within you, my friend, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So when you choose to dethrone King me, and you choose to let God rule and reign as Lord and leader in your heart and your life, you will be radiant. You will be beaming for all to see the light of Christ shining in and through you, Psalm 34, verse 5. I want you to listen closely as I read to you a passage from Philippians chapter 2. Paul writes this, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure. Do everything without complaining or arguing, excuse me, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Philippians 2, verses 12 through 16. Working out your salvation doesn't mean you're living a life dependent upon good works to maintain your relationship with God. I think we'd be very wise to heed the question that Paul asks of the saints in Galatia. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, he says this, "How foolish can you be? After starting your new life in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort?" You see, you and I were given the gift of salvation by God's grace through our faith in him, Ephesians 2:8. We're to continue to live out our Christian life by that same faith, Galatians 2:20, 2 Corinthians 5:7. Working out your salvation means that you are choosing to be transformed in such a way that you are not only daily dethroning King Me, you're saying no to the flesh, but you're daily choosing to live entirely for God. You're saying yes to the Holy Spirit. But you're also, watch this now, you're also living out the holiness that God has placed inside of you. Ephesians 4:24 tells us that the new nature that God created within us was created to be like God in all righteousness and true holiness. You have a holy nature. You have God's light shining within you. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 5:8, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. Let your light shine." In fact, Matthew 5:16, Jesus said that those very words. He said, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So I want to challenge you, as you walk out the truth of God's word on a daily basis, let me close with what I reminded you of in John 14, verse 26 at the beginning of this episode. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to bring to your remembrance all that God has said to you, but you can't remember something you don't know. So get into the word of God. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Renovate your minds, renew your thinking, and be transformed. And let the light of God that he's placed within you shine out around to your friends, your coworkers, your family members, and let it happen today. Well, we're going to hit the pause button here. I've got so much more I want to share with you, and I respect your time, and I appreciate the time that you've given to listen to this episode, to listen to the podcast. But we're going to hit the pause button until next week. But in the meantime, if you'd like to learn more about today's study, or if you're interested in learning more about the Pure Man Ministry, aka the Purity Coach, and what it is that we do on a weekly, daily basis to help men literally across the globe find freedom and victory over their addictions to sexual sin. If you're interested in knowing more, be sure to visit our website. There's a multitude of resources that we've made available to you. You can find our website at the Purity Coach, all one word, the Purity, P-U-R-I-T-Y, coach.com. One of the resources that I'd like to highlight for you, and I've been highlighting it for you because this is special. It's very dear to me. It's the latest book that I just released back in February. I'd like to encourage you to go on to Amazon and purchase your copy of my book entitled Purely Satisfied, Discover How to Live in Genuine Purity. The fact is that at some level we all experience a sexual thirst. Those of us who are struggling with sexual addiction or sexual sin often feel like if we don't give in to that sexual need, then I'm going to shrivel up and I'm going to die. I've got to do this. I have to give in. Maybe it's not sexual sin. Maybe it's alcohol or drugs or gluttony, greed, pride, control. Whatever it is that consumes you, you feel thirsty. You feel like you're gonna die if you don't get that need met. Where do you go to find satisfaction? All too often, let's face it, we turn to King Me for the solution. We focus on those things, those choices, those activities, those thoughts that will satisfy the never-ending thirst and lust of the flesh. In this book, Purely Satisfied, Discover How to Live in Genuine Purity, we talk about the fact that, yes, you are thirsty, but you're not thirsting for sexual fulfillment. You're not thirsting for drugs. You're not thirsting for alcohol. You're not thirsting for food or whatever your addiction may be. You're not thirsting for the physical satisfaction. You're not thirsting for that chemical pop or rush that the raging hormones provide you. See, that's Satan misdirecting you. That's him trying to get your focus off of what the real thirst is for. You've heard me say it before. The problem that we struggle with isn't lust, porn, masturbation, sexual acting out. It's not drugs, alcohol, anger, worry, anxiety, greed, pride, fear, control, gluttony. Those are the byproducts. And that's what Satan wants you to focus on. You need to fix your drug problem. You need to fix the alcohol problem. You need to fix the anger or the porn problem. That's Satan misdirecting you. You are thirsty, but what you're thirsting for is something different, something deeper than what Satan wants to feed you. Here's what I mean. Your soul is searching for something that only God can give. That's why our addiction is so powerful. That's why the addiction will always, always, always fail to genuinely, fully, completely satisfy. That's why you keep going back for more and more and more. You're never having that thirst thoroughly quenched. Well, this book, Purely Satisfied, Discover How to Live in Genuine Purity, takes you into over 1,100 passages of Scripture, 1,100 verses from God's Word to show you how to catch God's vision and God's plan for your life. The only way, my friend, that is going to happen is when you daily choose to dethrone King Me and allow God to be Lord and leader over every aspect of your life, every moment of every day. Oh, it's critical. It is vital. It is necessary that we choose to daily develop an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And this book, Purely Satisfied, Discover How to Live in Genuine Purity, will help you discover not only how to be pure, but how to stay pure. So let me strongly encourage you to go to Amazon.com and do a search for Purely Satisfied and get your copy today. And if you don't remember the title, just do a search for my name, Steve Etner, and you'll see all the different books that I've written. Well, if you've not yet subscribed to this Point of Purity podcast, let me encourage you to do so today. I don't want you to miss any of our upcoming episodes. So until next time, this is author, speaker, certified professional mentor, and purity coach Steve Etner reminding you that if you're going to glorify God in your everyday living, He must first be glorified in your every moment thinking.